Hi everyone, this is El Boogie. Today is Wednesday, October the 6th, 2021, and our topics for the day are going to be Facebook under fire and the attack on Roe versus Wade. We'll jump right into these two topics after we return from this short break. See you guys again soon. Peace. Hi everyone, you're back on with Listen to El Boogie. We're going to jump right into our first topic. Another scandal, Facebook. For the last 3 days, the Wall Street Journal has published a series of damning scopes about Facebook's internal research. The big takeaway: almost everything Facebook has denied knowing, whether it's about viral content, the way people perceive themselves online, how politicians get special treatment, the company and its leaders actually did know and probably had studied. The WSJ is calling its series the Facebook Files, which appear to come from a compilation of files leaked to the paper from whistleblower who is also speaking with Congress and the SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission. Here are the most important takeaways from each of the stories so far. The company whitelists VIP accounts in a program called XCheck, allowing high-profile figures to post without moderation or continue to post despite violating rules that would get ordinary publishers or ordinary users punished. The WSJ report that the company reviewed the program internally and found that it allowed people to consistently get away with bad behavior. While XCheck was reportedly initially designed to create quality control measures for moderation issues of high-profile accounts, many prominent, famous, and powerful people have instead been allowed to repeatedly violate Facebook rules and given extra time and special permission to fix their rule violations without consequences. Instagram makes teen girls feel worse about their bodies. Internal Facebook research into Instagram found that for girls who already feel badly about their bodies, about one-third of them feel worse after spending time on Instagram. The company said in an internal presentation that it knew teenagers blame Instagram for exacerbating anxiety, depression, and that the site makes teenagers feel worse about their bodies and social status. Both Mark Zuckerberg and Instagram CEO Adam Mosseri have publicly denied that Instagram has negative social effects for teenagers, and the company has refused to turn over its own research on the issue, instead citing researchers who show more positive effects on social media in its communications with Congress. Despite this research, the company has done little to implement changes that could make the platform less toxic. One employee is quoted as saying, isn't that what IG is mostly about? A shift away from news made the platform worse. The third WSJ story published yesterday revealed that when Facebook tried to shift its timeline to focus more on meaningful social interaction and less on news, the platform got more negative and divisive. While the documents reveal Facebook's own knowledge here, this particular story is the one that most people probably know quite well. After the algorithm changed, internal Facebook researchers discovered that publishers were now producing inflammatory, partisan, and extremist content to increase engagement that users in general were engaging less on the platform. When researchers and data scientists proposed fixes to reduce the pattern, Zuckerberg apparently was unwilling to embrace any that might also lower user engagement. Okay. As a whole, so far, these stories paint a picture of a company well aware of its critics and often right, and yet it remains unwilling to admit it. But one former researcher told the WSJ, "We're standing directly between people and their bonuses." Its user engagement is directly tied to people's paychecks. Is anyone really surprised? Okay. What's next? A message from Facebook. Facebook supporters updated regulations, including four areas where lawmakers can make quick progress. Reforming Section 230, preventing foreign interference in our elections, passing federal privacy laws, setting rules that allow people to safely transfer data between services. Okay. All right. We're going to take a little break. And once we return, I'm going to give a short commentary on this subject. Okay. My take on this is they should just leave Facebook alone. What they're doing is what America has always done. So if people are upset about powerful people getting privileges over regular folk, that's not new. That these type of things, it happens and has been happening before Facebook was invented, before social media was invented. I think they're also being accused of causing the January 6th insurrection at the White House. It's laughable to me because I think that we're moving towards censorship, because the First Amendment gives us freedom of speech. And if the speech is divisive, first of all, who determines what's divisive? You know, it's like, are we having the freedom of speech police being created out of all this? You know, I think it's a excuse to get people riled up and upset about what Facebook is doing, like it's killing our democracy. To me, it's a bunch of bullshit. This is America. If you don't like what is going on Facebook and you want a Disneyland effect, all you have to do, the lady that leaked all those quote-unquote 10,000 papers and stuff, to me, is they really sensationalizing the story. You're trying to blow it up and make it bigger and worse than it really is, because they want to outrage the public. How they can outrage the public about freedom of speech, whether it's divisive or positive or negative, I don't know. If people are dissatisfied with Facebook, all they have to do is delete their account. If people that work with and know about how to create a platform such as Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, go and create your own platform. Call it the Disneyland effect. Make your own platform and don't allow free speech on your platform. Give a list of topics that people can talk about that you won't be offended by. Okay, if you don't want people to talk about politics on your platform, don't allow them to talk about politics on your platform or other serious topics or topics that may, you know, elicit people with real strong opinions or whatever. Either way, strong opinions before or strong opinions or against is free speech. This is America, and people have the right to say virtually what they want to say. Now, my thing is recently that you have people that, you know, they want things to go their way. And they want the information to be one-sided to elicit or get the result they want. So if information is free-flowing and you have people that are giving opinions or information against the result they want, they upset. So now you have YouTube telling people what they can and cannot talk about in America with the First Amendment of freedom of expression and freedom of speech. If any people are want to be upset about anything, they should be upset about their First Amendment rights being trampled and people being censored. Okay, we'll take racism for instance. It does exist. You have people that are for racism. You have people that are against racism. Either way, for or against, they have a right to voice their opinion. If you don't like what they say for or against any topic, racism or guns, religion, abortion, or whatever, you can tune out. You can either tune out or you can either just only visit platforms or internet where they publish news and stuff for whatever your opinion is that's in favor of your opinion. Either way, you know, so to me it's a Trojan horse. They want to regulate social media, period, because information is free flowing, and if you have a people that's well informed and they're not receiving information that's one-sided to get a certain result or reaction, then that's not free speech. That's not free. Free speech is being able to say whatever you want to say. If two people get in an argument or debate on social media, be it Facebook or YouTube or Instagram or whatever, and they cussing each other out, this is America. We got the right to cuss each other out. Or if they're making great arguments that's well thought out and from information, that's also a right. Now, there's misinformation. Who decides what's good information and who isn't? Who decides what's misinformation and wasn't misinformation? The people that decide that are the people that want a certain result. And I'm going to use the vaccine as an example, because on this particular platform right here, we can talk about it. Okay. You have people that are for the vaccine. You have people that are against the vaccine. People that are for the vaccine don't want people to give their opinion if they're against the vaccine. So they want to say that those people are giving misinformation. Who in the hell do they think they are to tell people that want to give their opinion or their information they have against the vaccine that they're giving misinformation? It's moving towards the shit they do in other countries like China and places where they control what their people see and hear. We're moving in that direction. So if people want to be alarmed and want to speak before the Senate, they need to be alarmed and speak to the fact that more and more and more they want to control what we see, what we hear, and what we say. The red flag was when they cut Donald Trump's Twitter account during the election. Whatever he was saying, he had a right to say. You know, whether it caused the insurrection or not, the main thing remains is when it comes to the insurrection, people have freedom free will to do what they want to do, regardless of what people say. Now, you have zealots, that's true. But the people that stormed the Capitol building on January 6th, they did it on their own accord. They did it because they, as a group, were dissatisfied with the results of the election. Now, you can say that he did, that Trump did kind of like exacerbate the situation or pour fire on it, so to speak. But at the same time, if you got your ass in a car and you rode to the Capitol to the protest the outcome of the election, that was of your own free will. That was a group of like-minded people, very ignorant, but had a plan and went in and did what they did. And the thing is that I don't think social media caused that. What caused it was their dissatisfaction with the result of the election. Now, when it comes to girls and Instagram, before the advent of social media, you have girls with all body types. If more than likely, if you have a shape that's not quote unquote popular, you know, or standards of beauty that this country sets forth, it's hereditary. However you shape, it comes from your genes, your parents, your grandparents, and so on, so forth on, you know, and so forth. So girls having issues with how their bodies are, that's something you can't get away from. And you go to school, you're going to have girls with what were considered nice shapes, and you're going to have funny shaped girls. Girls that would be considered not having a, let's say, hourglass shape, so to speak. You can't get away from it. Even if it wasn't a such thing as social media, girls cannot get away from having issues with how they look, their bodies, and social status, and this and that. This has been going on since I was in high school back in 1981 when I was in the ninth grade. It was going on then. You know, now, the only difference is, yes, there you have access to more pictures and media and whatnot. So you can't get away from it. It's on commercials. You know, they show, in order to sell a product, sex sells. And they're going to have the most beautiful and most finely shaped, whatever race, white girls, black girls, or whatever, to sell their product. Whatever it is. Sexiness sales. You know, I'm keeping it real. They're going to have a butt ugly, bad shaped female trying to sell their product. It's just not the way it is. So Instagram causing girls, yeah, they can't. What? They're addicted to it and they can't stop? That's bullshit. They can stop. Their parents can stop them. But their parents, they on social media too. It's a problem, but it's gaslighting. They gaslight, social media. Because the end result is they want to censor us. They want to censor what we see, what we say, and what we hear. That is the issue. This problem with Facebook being irresponsible is a Trojan horse. Just like when they write bills in Congress and the Senate, they call the bill, they said the major parts of the bill does one thing, but then they got other little parts that doesn't have anything to do with the title of the bill that's inside the bill. The bill is basically a Trojan horse for some other shit that they want to put on the American people. So this whole thing to me is a big ass fiasco. Leave Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook the fuck alone. That's my opinion. And as soon as we come back, we're going to talk about Roe v. Wade. See you guys again soon. Peace. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're back on. We're listening to El Boogie. We're going to cover our second topic, which is the attack on a woman's right to choose. And the law, landmark law that was passed in the 70s, Roe v. Wade. This article is kind of long. It has a lot of moving parts to it, but I'm just going to touch on some important information that I think people that listen to me should know. All right. In 1973... U.S. Supreme Court case Roe v. Wade affirm the access to safe and legal abortion is a constitutional right. But Roe versus Wade is at risk like never before. Why? Because Roe has been under mounting attack for years, and because our federal courts are packed with judges who have records hostile to reproductive rights. The Supreme Court justices, as well as over 220 judges on the federal appellate and district courts, were appointed by Trump and confirmed by the U.S. Senate, led by Mitch McConnell. Many of them have records unfriendly to sexual and reproductive rights. These judges, many of whom are young, have lifetime positions, and their rulings on abortion could affect generations to come. A right in name only for some. Protecting the legal right to abortion that Roe versus Wade established is crucial. At the same time, the legal right to abortion alone isn't enough. Even though the right to have an abortion is the law of the land, abortion is a right in name only for many people. State abortion restrictions, as well as federal policies like the Hyde Amendment, keep abortion out of the reach of millions of people across the country, particularly communities that already face systemic barriers to health care, such as Black and brown communities and those with low incomes. So, your access to abortion largely depends on how much money you have, your health insurance, your race, and your zip code. All right, next I'm gonna cover three major things. Number two, statistics on Roe versus Wade. Today, 79% of Americans don't want to see Roe v. Wade overturned. The data is clear. Americans support Roe versus Wade and the constitutional right to access abortion. The data is also clear on who would be harmed if the Supreme Court were to overturn Roe versus Wade. Roughly 25,000 women and girls of reproductive age live in states where they are expected to completely lose abortion access if the United States goes back to being states deciding whether to legalize abortion. Okay. In other words, overturning Roe versus Wade could put safe, legal abortions out of reach for one-third of people aged 15 to 49 who may need it. And these estimates are based on population in more than 20 states that have a combination of pre-Roe versus Wade bans, trigger bans that would automatically make abortion illegal if Roe falls, and or legislatures with an established history of passing abortion restrictions. All right, fact. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, further eroding one-third of women of productive age in America could lose their ability to access abortion in their state. Okay. And this is the third bit I'm going to cover, and I'm going to digress. Abortion access before and after Roe versus Wade. Abortion, like birth control, has ancient roots in cultures all over the world. But by 1900, almost every state in America made abortion illegal. Before Roe versus Wade, the legal consequences of criminalizing abortion. Criminalizing abortion sent providers and patients into the shadows. You know, by 1965, illegal abortions made up one-sixth of all the pregnancy-related deaths in the United States. And that's just according to official reports. Doctors think the actual number of deaths from illegal abortions was a lot higher. Attempts to prohibit abortion particularly hurt people with low incomes. A survey conducted in the 1960s found that among women with low incomes in New York City, who had obtained an abortion, 8 in 10 had attempted a dangerous self-induced procedure. Okay, after Roe v. Wade, safe abortion access. The Supreme Court ruling on Roe v. Wade on January 22nd, 1973, gave people the right to access abortion legally all across the country. Although the right doesn't mean everyone has access, the case also prevented many people dying from unsafe, illegal abortions. When people can legally and affordably access abortion, it's one of the safest medical procedures. In the United States, abortions has a safety record of over 99%. All right. Roe versus Wade. Okay. I believe a woman should have the right to choose if she wants to abort or not, especially in cases of incest and rape. In general, I believe that if a woman finds out she's pregnant and she doesn't want the child, she should notify the whoever the father is or whoever was with to let them know. I feel like that should be a legal thing where they should have to let, if they know who the person, in a lot of cases, women don't know. But if they know, they should notify the person or individual that could be the father of the possible child to let them know what's going to go on. And that's where, you know, it's a slippery slope and it becomes complicated because when a woman has the ultimate decision, and basically, you know, the man could be against, but what can he really do? You know, if he don't have a legal right to say, I don't want you to abort my child, that's a whole nother issue. But what I don't agree with is the terms. You know, I do believe at some point the fetus becomes a person, not a person, but it starts out, you know, and it, you know, I just don't believe in late term abortions. There should have to be a limit. In cases of rape, yes, you know, ASAP. But in my heart, I don't believe that you should terminate a pregnancy right at the first trimester. That is, the first trimester, that's what? 4, 8, 12 weeks. You know, because then you're 3 months pregnant. You're 3 months. The first trimester, what? It's 3 months. 4, 8, 12. Yeah, you're 3 months. So I think if you're going to do it, if it's going to be done, it has to be done as quickly as possible. Because I've heard in some cases, and they show pictures of late-term abortions where you're basically pulling out a baby. You know, you're aborting it, you're killing the child. It's a child, it's a, you know, grown into a person that from a blood clot, you know, and growing, and you know, that's not right. I don't believe in late-term abortion. That's what I don't believe in. Now, I know there's a lot of extenuating circumstances, the mental state of the woman at the time, their living circumstances, economics and whatnot. But if it has to be a thing, whereas once you find out you are pregnant and you can tell, most women can, because it's some biological and physiological things going on in a woman's body and hormones and stuff that lets her know that she is with child. If you're going to terminate the pregnancy, it has to be done quick as possible. Quick as possible. And, you know, I don't have a problem with a woman choosing. I believe that it's not a thing where people at large or men or any group should decide what a woman should do with her body. I do believe that. But at the same time, you have some people, their mental states aren't what they should be. Well, I won't say should be. They have different mental states. And somebody may go find out. You know, it's the thing. Prime example. A woman gets pregnant. she may have had more than one partner. She's in love with one guy, and the other guy just happened. Okay, she may be find out after she's 12 weeks pregnant that the father really is. You know, I know it can't be done until, you know, on DNA, but it's a good possibility she could find out or want it to be a certain guy. Because of, you know, one guy may be responsible, one guy may not be responsible. So if she has a fear that it ain't the person who she wanted to be, she can go to terminate the pregnancy based on that. You know, and then she, 12 weeks along. Whereas if it was the person that she's in favor of, she wouldn't terminate the pregnancy. So it's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances when it comes to that. But I believe it should be done as quick as possible. You know, I believe there's very few circumstances that a woman should receive a late term abortion. You know, where it's just like you 6 months. What? I want to say in the going into the second trimester. That should be a no. Now that part, there has to be some restrictions. And I think there are some, but I don't believe in a woman should have a late term abortion, because you waited long enough. You know you can have an abortion, but there may be a reason that's not good enough for you to have a late term abortion. Now, if you're gonna put the mother's life in danger, you know, things like that, then I could see if it's going to save the woman's life, because it wouldn't make any sense for if the birth of a child is going to cause the woman's life and the baby's life or whatever, or fetus or whatever it is, to be in danger. So I don't believe in late term abortion. That's my only thing. Other than that, a woman should have the right to choose if she wants to abort a baby or not. But it has to be done in a timely fashion. And that's all I have to say about that. All right. You're on with Listen to L Boogie. And this is going to be the end of this episode. Of course, there'll be more episodes to come. And I'm going to sign off, and I'm going to say what I always say. Y'all be cool. Love one another. I'll holler at you. Peace.